Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Welcome, Rochelle.
Hi, how are you doing, Jen? How are you doing, Michael?
Great. Thanks for, sorry about that. I think Michael's machine wasn't able to unmute me, so I'm over here introducing you and but no one's hearing me, so thanks for your patience.
No problem.
So you are here to speak with us this afternoon about your participation in the 15th Annual Grid Walk, which is very, very fun.
Yes, I'm excited about it. I've been doing the fundraiser, and I have committed to walk or run 100 miles between, I think it was beginning of July until like October 5th. And I have invited people to pledge a certain amount per mile. And people have pledged anywhere from 25 cents to $2 or so. And based on the mileage that I do, contribute to the fundraising for the Vulnerable Children's Project in Cantaloupe.
Wow. That is so much fun.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. And people have been excited about it. I've been getting a lot of encouragement and everything. And it's really a mile a day. And I've been unhealthy in the past with asthma and things like that and could not even walk to the end of the street. I had to hire somebody to walk my dog for me. And to be at a place where I'm healthy enough that I can run a mile a day is very gratifying, and I'm so grateful for it. But then also to use it as a fundraiser, it has been exciting.
Yeah, so sounds like such a tangible experience of practice to steward yourself, essentially, because of health things and that sort of thing, to steward yourself to a place where, can't even walk down the block and have to hire someone to walk your dog to a place where you can run a mile. And how amazing that is. And then using that as a way to participate and to give back, and it's so perfect, it's so great.
It is perfect. I got to tell you, for years I've been stuck in this bamboozle and duality regarding fundraising, and conditioning was talking me out of participating in the fundraiser, and then. Mm-hmm. After the fundraiser and listening to the archives and looking at the blog and seeing how much fun people had and things like that, then it beats me up because I didn't participate. And this year, particularly with the help of the Bamboozle book, I was able to see through that huge scam and committed to, I don't care what I have to do, but I am going to participate and fundraise this year. So I was determined. I am going to break through that duality, and I am going to stop listening to conditioning, and I'm going to participate and do this. So,
wow, good for you. That is so much fun. Because what I hear in that is the tenacity of conditioning. So you break out of it to the extent of reading the blogs and, reading what other people have done and past years fundraising, so we can guess getting inspired in that. Okay, so how's it going to close that down? Well, see, and you haven't been participating. You've just been on the side. So then it tries to shut us down that way. But then the tenacity of the practitioner of ourselves to say, you know what, no, I'm not having that conversation. In fact, not only am I not having that conversation, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to jump in and participate. I'm just doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And I was listening to one of the archives, and what really motivated me was Sherry talking about what this is the attitude of mind we want the children to have in Cantaloupe. Okay, and so there are a lot of obstacles, and there's a lot of things saying, not only children, people working there too. Every morning they've got to cook for a thousand children. And the children were asking them to perform well in school and learn English and do those types of things. And so I can't let conditioning stop me from goals.
Exactly.
If I'm asking them every day to work hard to do this for their future, for their education, for their families, for their community. And so I can't let conditioning stop me from a mile a day.
Wow. And you know what, Rochelle? You just gave me goosebumps because you just made real what I often find myself saying in Cantaloupe, which is, I hope that you folks know that what you're doing is making a huge difference in the lives of thousands of people in the United States. And there can be this moment of, what do you mean? You know, how can that be? But you just articulated that because there's such that sense of connection and that deep love that our communities have for one another that everything they're doing is a challenge in the sense of a support. That's a better word for it, a support for us to go up against the imaginary limitations that we have and vice versa. Because, of course, everything that this community on this side of the Atlantic is doing, like you're demonstrating, then becomes an inspiration for them. It's just, oh, it's such a good deal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And, you know, conditioning tries. Each morning,
yeah, of course,
some
of
reason
course.
Why I can't get up and exercise and why I yep. can't get up and run. I mean, it really tries. And I've gotten yep. to the point, like, it's like there's no choice. I'm not dead. I'm yep. not dying. I'm going to run. Because today, also, ladies are getting up, and they're starting a fire, and they're cooking for 1,000 children. Children are coming from all over to eat, and then they're going to school, and then they're learning yep. English as a second language. I can get up, and I can do a mile. And so, you know, conditioning has all kinds of reasons not to. It's summer in the South. It's hot. It's humid. Your knees hurt. Yeah. Those types of things. It's always something. It's like, oh, but no. Yeah. Regardless, I'm going to do my mile. And it's so rewarding. And it also, yeah. you know, there's part of conditioning that kind of want to keep it a secret. Well, you can do this, but don't tell anybody you're doing a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. Really? Are you serious? and so it is inspiring to other people. And people
exactly.
look for things to donate to, yeah. to give to for good causes. And so I've gotten the feedback like, wow, this. They look at the website and the project and like, this is really awesome. I'm like, yeah, I told you. And so keeping it quiet also was kind of robbing other people of an opportunity to participate, to donate, that type of thing. So it has been a positive experience all the way around.
Yes, yes. You know, you remind me, I heard a woman who has given her life to the world of fundraising. And I can't remember the word she uses. She doesn't use fundraising. But I remember it changed my viewpoint completely when she articulated exactly what you're giving us a tangible example of, which is that people love to be asked because it's a form of participation. It means that those folks matter in your life. You want, you know, you love this thing. You're participating with this thing. And you're also, you know, doing something incredibly, you know, great for Rochelle and wanting people to have a chance to participate in that. And so asking them to participate in that way is such a gift to them. And it sounds like people are really responding to that.
People are really responding. I mean, and people in my community, so if they've known, you know, how sick I was in the past with asthma and things
yeah.
like that, they're blown mm-hmm. away about, mm-hmm. yeah, it's just one
yeah.
step at a time, and, you know, it's not fast.
Yeah.
you know,
yep.
I'm not a
yeah.
you know, mega athlete, but, you know, I keep putting one foot in front of the other. And, you know, I've done, of the 100 miles, I've already done 30 miles.
Oh, congratulations. You know, as you say that, I just think, so you talked about the women in Cantaloupe, you know, the inspiration of every day they're getting up, they're making those fires. And then we never know when we're going to be that inspiration for someone else. Right? So who knows what's going on in someone else's life. And for them to hear about the fundraiser and say, you know what? I remember when Rochelle couldn't walk down the block. If she can do it, then I can do that, whatever it is in my life that I'm going up against. And in that way, you know, we become that bodhisattva for each other, that example of what's possible when someone is willing to do the work of going beyond letting the voices in their head control their lives. It's incredibly inspiring.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, even while I'm running, it tries to talk me out of running. It's amazing to see that, and it highlights how ridiculous it is. And I do. It wants to keep silent and keep quiet and keep small. And I'm glad that I fundraise and I I'm glad that I've done it and let people know what I'm doing and participate, because hopefully it inspires people, type of thing. But also it's just so healthy and just it's just such a good experience. And to keep that quiet would have been a shame. It would have robbed people of opportunities to participate, to see what you can do when you just stop listening to those voices.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, we're told, oh, you can't talk about it, and it's whatever it is, whatever the voices are going to say about it. But actually, it's generous. It's generous to share the information. You know, it's supportive. It's a loving thing to do. Yep. And as you were talking, I was thinking how there's such a space for recording and listening in it, too. You know, so making myself recordings, reminding myself why I do want to do this, to wake up to in the morning for when it tries to talk me out of it, or when I'm going out for the run, that we can then have those recordings that remind me of all the amazing benefits that I'm getting from this.
And after you do the run, recording that, I did it. It didn't get me today.
Yes, exactly.
That's a lot of fun. It said I couldn't do it, and I just totaled the mileage today, so I didn't realize I'd done 30 miles, and I'm like, oh my gosh. A third of the way there. It's like, oh my gosh. And it hit, no, you can't do this. You're going to get sick. You're going to get hurt, you know. And so it's just amazing. And just to record that feeling, and you know, and then when you hear it again, seeing what you can't do, it's like, oh, you really don't know what I can do.
Exactly. Oh, I love it, Rochelle. I love it. Well, congratulations on so many levels, and just so much gratitude for your willingness, you know, for being willing to be here with us this afternoon to talk about it, and just sharing the generosity of your practice and your idea and all of it. So,
always. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, yeah, it's a pleasure. Anything else, Rochelle, before we turn it over to Michael and Sherry?
No, I don't think so. I'm coming to the bridge walk. I've got my tickets and everything. This will be the first time I'm coming. Yeah.
You know what? When you said you were a third of the way there, I almost said, you've got to come celebrate with us. But, you know, I didn't want to put too much pressure on you, so I didn't say it.
You know, condition was saying I couldn't go. I didn't have the time. I'm like, okay, we're gonna do this. And so I'm going to do that. I'm going to fly in and fly out real quick and, you know, come in Friday night and fly out Sunday. But I'm gonna do it.
Good for you. Oh,
15 years, I got to do it, you know.
Those 100 miles are going to be part of the celebration on the day. I can promise you that. All right, Rochelle. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And we'll see you pretty soon then.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Rochelle. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Michael. Good afternoon. Is your face hurting from grinning?
Yeah, that was.
Oh, was that the best? Let us count the ways. First of all, I am in solidarity with Rochelle. I'm going to commit to running a mile a day. I don't know how many days I have left, but I've gotten away from jogging. You know, it's too hot where I live. It's too this. It's too that. It's too something else. So, right? So that's number one, and I am so incredibly grateful for that. And then just because then I'll ask you what's going on with you, okay? But for right now, so I'm doing this other retreat. Right? And it's hard. It's hard stuff we do in this retreat. That's why, that's why we do it. But this thing came up for us to do, and people are excited about it. And one of the participants said, I'm going to connect this with the fundraiser for Africa Vulnerable Children Project. So every time so she has this commitment of what she's going to do in this other retreat, and she said every time the voices come up and try to talk me out of it, every time there's some one bamboozle or another, I'm gonna put money in the jar for the kids in Cantalomba. And it just, it, and I said, me too. I'm a me too kind of chick. And what I was thinking about that is such a perfect, this campaign is so brilliant in the first, I mean, all the campaigns have been great. This one is beyond brilliant, right? And to be able to use our practice in this way, you know, what Rochelle and Jen were talking about with the folks in Cantaloupe and how they get up every morning and what they do. And when I committed to doing this difficult thing every day, and if I get bamboozled out of it, you know, making that donation, that was what I got to. You know, if those people can get up and do that every day, by golly, I can get up and do this thing that is hard for me to do, right? And now I'm so excited. So excited that Rochelle is coming to Ridgewalk. Oh my gosh! And to have that inspiration to run the mile every day. And oh, okay. Tell me, how are you doing?
I'm good. It was great to hear Rochelle and Jen, and it's great to hear you all excited too. And yeah, I had exactly the same experience. It's just very inspiring. And I loved what Rochelle was saying about how it's a gift to share the opportunity with other people about the Bridgewalk and the opportunity to give to it. And it's a great project. And why live my life under a bushel, huh?
Yes, exactly. If you're doing these great things in your life, why not let other people know? Because you don't know who wants to participate with you in this great thing. And what Rochelle said about, you know, there people want to give. They do. But so often I hear from people, but, you know, I'm afraid. I don't know what to give to. You know, there's just so many scams and cons and not just inside our heads with the bamboozles, right, but with external bamboozles. And so if it's somebody who knows you and cares about you and trusts you, then they want there's a perfect, well, I can plug in there. I can participate there. And the thing about our culture that we are not currently the healthiest group of people ever to have graced this planet, you know, So much difficulty with weight and different conditions that go with a very privileged lifestyle. To take on an opportunity like this to say, good, I'm going to make this effort, something like Rochelle is doing with a commitment to exercise, tell people about it, have them support it. When I get bamboozled, I put in a little extra in the cup. Oh my gosh, it just, everybody benefits in every direction, and that's what we want.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. we're starting this show really wound up. It's great.
I've been wound up all day, Michael. I've been wound up since I was on that earlier call talking, you know, basically having the same conversation. But then Rochelle just articulated the whole thing so beautifully, just really brought it all together for me and hopefully for a lot of other folks, too, who are going to be really lit up and excited and inspired, confident. You know, we can do this. We can do this. And then also now I know Rochelle is a busy human being, and she's going to fly across the country for a day to be there to celebrate with us on this 15th anniversary. And so I hope that inspires some folks, too, who would say, oh, I've got so far to go and jet lag and it's expensive and all that. Yeah, but, oh, we would so love to see you here with us.
Yes.
Celebrate.
Yes, it's true. Yeah. It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
All right. Yeah.
I have some very fun here.
Oh, good.
The practice weekend coming up August 19th through 21st at the Zen Monastery Peace Center is an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and participate in the monastic schedule. From Friday evening group with the guide to Sunday morning group with the community, participants enjoy support for deepening practice in the peace and beauty of the monastery. And the weekend includes guidance with you, Sherry, or with Ashwini.
Yes, it does. Yeah, lots of nice focus. That's what it comes down to. Maybe all different kinds of things that are happening, but the thing that is shared is the chance to be in that quiet and stillness and beauty and be able to focus exclusively on one's own process, which is a tremendous gift.
Yes, it is. Anyone doing spiritual practice is walking the hero's path. We meet our mentors and face our demons and courageously encounter and transcend our deepest fears. The Hero's Journey Retreat, September 1st through 6th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, will explore the nature of the path we are walking together. Join Sherry and Ashwini for this fun and unusual experience.
It's going to be good.
Going to be good.
Yeah, it's a great place, too. We really enjoy that center. It's a Franciscan Nun Center in Bethlehem and beautiful grounds and got a great cook staff. So we have good food and we're going to have great yoga. And, yeah, it's good. It's a good place to be.
Oh, great. Great.
And if people are doing something like the last year when we were there, practically everybody in the Sangha was doing 10,000 steps, you know, because we were counting steps, right? Remember? And, I mean, as soon as there's a break in the retreat, it's like the whole retreat just is out there under the trees and just walking and walking and walking and doing walking meditation. And it was very fun. So.
Great, great. Two new group coaching opportunities will be starting up in September. Conversations with the Mentor beginning September 21st and Mornings with the Mentor beginning September 28th. These weekly group sessions offer support and accountability for your recording and listening practice commitment. And get support for catching conditioning's bamboozles with the Empty Teacup Challenge, which is running now until the 15th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on October 15th. Be on the lookout for bamboozles and record how many you're spotting on the Teacup Challenge page at the Living Compassion website.
You know, Michael, I bet I'll get at least one every day with my commitment to do a mile.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
There's going to be at least one attempt bamboozle every day, so I feel good about that.
Right, it's going to be too hot or too cold.
I'm too tired. It's got whine. I can hear it.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great. And I think we're ready, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Sure thing. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. This is Rob.
Hi, Rob.
I had no idea I was going to be connected. It's the first time I use the app on my phone. I just pressed the button in the corner, and here I am.
Well, very good. Well, welcome. What's going on?
Well, nothing much. I don't really have anything much to say, except that I had to do something today that I was avoiding doing, and I happened to pick up the, I don't know, I was going through my email, and so I guess I got the newsletter article, I think it was from July, and the discussion was about resistance, And so I only needed to read like the first paragraph or two, and then I was like, oh, I got to do this. You know, it's exactly the thing I don't want to do, so I got to do it. So I did it, and I took care of it. And of course, it was really easy once I had decided that, well, I just have to do it. It was like, it was no problem.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And talk about a great thing to record, right? Because it's always that way, isn't it? When we're in the conversation, oh, I don't want to. That's what I'm looking forward to with this mile a day business, right? Oh, I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I'll do it late. And everything just feels hard and overwhelming, and I can't. And then that shift happens that you described so beautifully. So you read that, and as you say, you read one or two paragraphs, and boom, the energy has shifted. Now all that life force isn't going into, oh, I don't want to. It's going into, okay, well, let's do this thing. And you do it, and it's easy, and you feel great.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it until just now, but the thing I had to do was I had to deal with the person who, the email class, I guess it's a couple months ago, where we talked about working with someone that you find difficult to be around. And so I had, and that's one of the reasons why I was resisting it. And the thing I love about practice is that I try to follow through. I do the practice and I try not to evaluate it too much. And then things just change. They just change. And I don't even quite know why. And I've learned to not worry about why. It doesn't matter. So in this case, you know, that was the focus of the email class, and I was talking about this difficult relation that happens to be with my sister. And so I had to see my sister, and it went really, really well. And, you know, like you said, it just happened. And once I decided to do it, it just flowed. There was no conflict. We had a really good time. And you know, the nice thing about that is that when I can be present, then it allows my sister to be present.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. And Rob, that is so powerful what you're saying about not needing to, this is my language, but I think this is what you're pointing at, not needing to go up into conditioned mind to hear an evaluation of your success in being present. So your commitment is just to do the practice. You don't need to hear conditioned mind assess whether you did it well or you did it poorly or if you could have, whatever. That conversation just falls away. You just do the practice. And what you notice is you're transformed in that process.
Yeah, when I go to conditioned mind to try to figure out how, then I'm not doing it.
Exactly. That is so good to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good to see.
Yeah, yeah. And so all you wind up with is, well, I read that thing. I've been in resistance. Okay, that happens to all of us. Read the thing, knew I needed to do it. Did it, had a great time. Next.
Right, right.
Yeah. No reviews, no postmortem.
It's shocking. It's shocking. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, it's shocking. It's just, you're right, I just went on and here I am talking about it.
Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. In kind of a, it's very different. You're talking about it from a place of, I project, almost awe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is very different from being in a conversation in conditioned mind that, as you say, wants to figure out how that happened, how you did that, and how could you do it again, and could you have done it better, and why didn't you do this before, and how could you have not seen this? None of that. It's just, wow. I just showed up. I was with my sister. It was great. Okay. Thank you. Right? You just get to that, I don't
right.
know how it happened. Thank you.
Right. You often talk about, at least what I hear, you often talk about, you know, the experience of emotion and hope. They're very similar experiences, just the context is different. And, mm-hmm. You know, part of my practice is actually I go through all the different ways that, of course I won't be able to say it if I'm thinking about it, but it's, you know, love and hope and gratitude and compassion and awe is actually one of my, you know, one of the ways I think about it. And I always recite that in the morning because, and so I love it. I love it, you know, that you said, ah, I'm like, yeah, that is exactly it. I was going to say gee whiz, but, you know, sounds better.
Well, but they're the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh, wow. Okay, it's all of those kind of, that I'm having an experience that is not anything conditioned mind can actually talk about. So at that point, I'm always really grateful for thank you and for being able to make gusho.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what we're left with.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much.
Makes me happy, Rob. Glad you got that app. Glad you pushed that button.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
It's a real gift. So, thanks.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rob. That was fun. Great way to start the show there, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. We just never know. When we are in that place of yes, you know, we don't have to be saying yes, but we're in an attitude of yes. We're in a here instead of a conversation about something that's not here. Life is just magical because life is magical.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller, and that's magical too.
It is. We can be deeply grateful.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. It's Jen in Rhinebeck, New York.
Well, hello, Jen. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing well. I also don't have much to say. I just figured I realized that I listen most weeks and I haven't pressed star 6 in like a year. So. I know.
It was certainly surprising. Time to press star 6.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about life. What's going on and what are you seeing and like that?
Yeah, I guess the most interesting thing that I'm practicing with right now is in a couple of weeks I'm starting a training to become a Feldenkrais practitioner.
Uh-huh.
And that's a movement exercise practice that's really gentle, that really repatterns the way your body and your brain talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Get them back in touch with each other. And
mm-hmm.
So it's been interesting. I've been practicing for a few years and really enjoying the practice. The practice itself is called Awareness Through Movement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually very similar to, you know, our awareness practice. It's just the focus of your attention is on really subtle movements of the body. So it's been really fun, and I started looking at doing a training. And that whole process alone just became its own little workshop.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All we have to do is say yes to something like that, and the retreat begins.
The retreat begins, exactly. Yes. Yeah. So I feel like what's been happening is I've just been making a real concerted effort to not be in any conversation about it, because if I listen to any of it, it just is like, you're right, this is ridiculous. I can think of so many other things I could do with the money, you know, blah, 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 all of that. It just goes on and on, and it just all feels very real. And yet, if I'm just at center, it's, I love this practice and I'd like to learn more about it. And it actually doesn't have to be more complicated than that.
That's exactly right, because, of course, so many people in our practice also practice with yoga, right?
Yes.
And and so there it is. It's and I was just in a Pilates appointment a week or so ago. Excuse me. And I love Pilates. And I said to the guy, you know, the thing that I love so much about this is it's physical meditation.
Yeah.
Right? Because I have to be paying such close attention in order to be able to do what I'm being asked to do. And I love it because it's, so can you feel how that, and, you know, they're asking you to feel things that there's no way in the world you're going to be able to feel, right? The movement of things in the body that it's, you're just, no, that's not going to happen. But it's it's turning your attention there and concentrating at that kind of level that to me is just, you know, the most fun we can have. And, of course, over time, I'm sure you've learned this with the Feldenkrais, the things that were not available to you, suddenly they are. You actually can feel that thing. You actually do know what's happening there. You have a sense, not know in the in that, you know, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate sort of conditioned mind knowing, but you have a sense of it. You can, you're present for it. And it's just, it's one more way to be paying attention, to be doing awareness practice consciously.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, which is a big part of the reason why conditioning wants nothing to do with it.
And I love that. One of my favorite expressions comes from a movie that you might be familiar with, but, well, we shall see. And so, you know, conditioned mind wants to talk about it. Well, we shall see. Right now we don't know anything, so we shall
see. Right. That's right. Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, it's it feels really liberating because it's a training to do this as a practitioner. And there's two components to it. There's the classroom work and then there's one-on-one body work sessions that are kind of like Thai yoga massage sessions. I've never done body work in my life. Like that's not, it's not at all part of any identity I have that I would imagine doing that for a living with people. And so there's a huge reason for conditioning to be like, why are you doing this then? Because this is training people to do that, you know?
Well, why I'm doing it is because I never have.
That's right. Exactly. That's where I feel like I'm at. It's like, how do I actually know I don't like it?
Oh, God, Jen. Oh, my God. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, oh, if we could just write that in every sky across the world. How do I know I won't like it? I've never done it.
Exactly.
People live, I mean, it's this is where my world is right now, so you've gone a bit passionate about it. Oh, no, 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 I don't want to do that. How do you know you don't want to do that?
Yeah.
You've never done it.
Yeah.
You have to do it and then tell me you don't want to do it. But you can't tell me you don't want to do it before you've done it.
That's
I mean,
right.
You can, but I'm not going to respect
then,
you.
But it's not, I don't, it's not true. I mean, I don't know if it's true.
It's like, not true.
It's not true.
Exactly. Yeah. And so if I'm going to go through life believing something on that scale that is not true, oh my goodness, I got to look at that process.
Yeah.
You know, no, I don't eat that kind of food. No, I don't dance. No, I don't. No, I don't like to. I don't like to. No, I'm not. I'm not a this person or that person. Well, how do you know that? You've never done it. Well, I just listen to a voice in my head that says I don't like it, and then I do what the voice in my head says.
Right.
Yowza. So why are you doing this? Because I never have.
Because I never have. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I like the practice, and I feel a lot better myself, and I feel like it's a nice framework for me to be becoming more intimate with my own body, which has always been a place where conditioning really has a hold, that relationship. So mm-hmm. I was actually at the movie theater the other night, and as I was watching the movie, I just found myself sort of touching my own arm, and my first reaction was like, oh, I love you. And I was just, I almost like turned to my side to see like who said that, because that would just not have been, you know, mm-hmm. in my reality even 5 years ago, you know. But mm-hmm. I feel like so much recording and listening, like hearing that stuff from the recorder all the time, and then this practice of being like, wow, look at this body. Like if you move that, that thing moves. And if you, you know, lift that over there, then, and you let that thing go, and you can lift even further. It's just amazing.
And wow, I have been living in you all my life, and I have been singularly disrespectful, not appreciative, not aware. And you just go right on taking me where I want to go and doing
go
the
right
things
on
that I want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now I have a chance really to get to know and appreciate you, and I really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm
mm-hmm.
doing this, because it's one more mm-hmm. way, as we were saying a little bit ago, one more way to learn to say thank you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it. I can't take that on, though.
Good.
I'm going to do the mile a day. But that Feldenkrais is going to have to, it's going to have to wait a bit. But I've got it on my list of possibilities now, because I love that.
Well,
stuff.
maybe I'll teach a class someday. There we go.
There you go. Yeah. That, because, Jen, that was the other thing. In this other retreat I do, that a gal who said, you know, the resistance that she ran into was as if she was making atomic bombs in the basement, which I just think is such a great image for what conditioned mind does, you know. And so it's going to come after you as if you're setting up a terror cell in your garage, you know, mm-hmm. where actually what you're doing is something that's very gentle and kind and compassionate, mm-hmm. and brings awareness, and mm-hmm. what's the problem?
Yeah.
And of course the problem is it's all of those things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It wants to make the problem that all of my resources aren't going into practice, you know, because it's got an idea of what practice means, you know.
Well, and of course if it would work better with you, it would make an argument that all your resources should be going into drugs, right? So it's
that's probably true.
All your resources should be going into whatever you're not currently doing and enjoying.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so that's why I'm like, okay, I'm not having this conversation. I'm doing this. I have no agenda. I have no idea where it will take me. And that is like so much more exciting. Even in the past, I would have been like, okay, it's a 4-year training, you know, buckling down, you know, in the end I'm going to be a practitioner.
What am I going to do when it's over?
And I'll make a living off of this somehow. And it's like, I'm not even going down that road. I have no idea if that's what will happen.
That's
and
right. But here's
matter.
The thing. If
like,
it,
it's exciting.
If it turns out that it was a big mistake, those voices will definitely point that out to you. So you don't need to get any of that information now.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
You can count on them.
It'll pick up wherever it needs to, those voices.
Oh, wherever. Yeah. All right. That's so great. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thank you. I'll see you in Pennsylvania in a month.
Just a short time. I know.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thank
Me
you,
too.
Jen. Good night.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. Another fun conversation, Sherry. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are going to break now and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Well, kind of inspired by people just saying they hit star six, and last week it occurred that, you know what, I'm going to call in next week. And I was getting talked out of it, but then it's star six.
All right. Hey, Dan, are you on a headset or anything like that? Because I'm having you sound a little bit far away. I have a little bit of trouble here. Perfect. There you are.
Okay.
So you hit star six, and here you are.
Yep. And I got to watch all these kind of sensations going through my body, and was seeing a lot of it was going up into the mind to, you know, already pre-evaluating what I was going to talk about. And, of course, I'm lacking.
Yeah, telling you what you're going to talk about and what's wrong with it. It's so helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, and what I've been practicing at work is, you know, what if I'm already good? That's kind of the question. You know, it starts all these horror stories about what's to happen. And I'm like, well, how would this look if I was already good? There was nothing to prove.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that what's projected onto the guide is that the guide will judge me, which is probably the last person in the world. I mean, it gets ridiculous at that point when you're projecting the guide is judging you. But, you know, that happens every time.
Right. Yeah, that's what I do in my spare time is I visit people on the astral plane and find out what they're doing so that I can judge them. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
But what occurred to share was I spent the weekend babysitting a pair of 5-year-old twins, and
oh my goodness!
I mean, literal. Yeah.
Wow.
And it got the full range. You know, there was a lot of laughing and playing. But at one point, and this is what was a little bit challenging, was they were wrestling and giggling. And then one started not liking what the other one was doing and complained loudly. The other one didn't quite stop quick enough. And so the one twin just reached out and kind of hit the other one in the neck. And then that one started crying. You know, I didn't quite know how to handle it. The flash, you know, it was very quickly into an identity, was that it's not okay to hit. For me, yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What do I do as the adult here? And just seeing how much it's not okay, you got to train them. All the stuff that I thought I would never, you know, all the things I guess I was saying I'd never be like my parents.
Yes.
And there are a lot of messages about not okay. And so you know, just you know, the question, of course, that comes up in what should I do in that situation? And so one person at retreat once said, I already know the monk's going to say, well, what are you seeing about that? So I'll just ask myself that.
yep.
You know, conditioning started playing out all these scenarios, but I was reminded of, at the last New Year's, the Jakarta Tales, the one about going to see the sick goat. You can sit and talk about it all you want, but just go see the goat. Just sitting here while I was, you know, listening, I kind of asked myself that question. Okay, well, what would be, assuming it's okay to hit, a big jolt of energy, assuming it's okay to hit, what would be a compassionate response? And, you know, when you ask, it just shows right up. And I felt this kind of kindness wave through my body, and it was just, how about go give him a hug? You know, I don't need to tell him anything. I don't know, it just felt like giving him a hug, you know, was the right thing to do, and that I could feel it in my body. So
So you asked the one who had hit to give the one who had gotten hit a hug.
Well, that's what occurred now as I was listening during open air. In the moment, I was pretty identified, and their parents were actually not too far away doing some work, and so I went and grabbed the parents and let them take care of it because, I don't know, I was just kind of shaking a little bit almost. So I didn't really trust myself to react in that situation. So I bailed. Well, I didn't bail. I chose to let the parents handle it.
What'd they do? I'm just curious.
They separated them. And the mother spent time with each one in a room separately. So I didn't hear what she discussed with them. I was almost kind of relieved in that identified place not to have to deal with it. And then, you know, they had time out for a little bit, and then we went back to playing.
Uh-huh. And they were fine.
Yeah. And I remember hearing that often, that, you know, the whole range of emotions is open to us. Kids bonk each other on the head, and then they go back to playing. And
right.
Actually, I was listening to an open-air archive. I listen while I drive, and actually this morning, you were mentioning that the kids bop each other on the head and 5 minutes later, they're, you know, not even 5 seconds later, they're back to playing. If a parent, you know, if an adult doesn't interrupt and tell them this is wrong and that's not, you shouldn't do that. And, so it's funny how, I think there was a practice blog on this that, when you start looking at something, information just starts popping up all over the place. And so the struggle was that there's a great resistance to it's okay to hit. It was funny. In the moment when the one kid hit the other, I literally felt, I guess, 5 years old myself, too. And I wanted to say in the tone of voice, I'll give it away, you're not supposed to do that. You know, it's kind of like...
like you're six and they're five, right? And you've already got the drill.
Teacher, you know, they're not supposed to do that. It was neat both to see the identification. I mean, it's actually... I don't know, gift, I guess. And then just in a moment, tonight, asking what would be a compassionate response, even if I'm not quite sure how to accept it yet. It just came.
Yeah. You know, in talking about this, I just wonder if, because, you know, I grew up in a rough and tumble era. You know, there was not a lot of... I mean, no, in my world, kids didn't get, you know, battered or anything. But definitely the, you know, if you get in trouble at school, be grateful for whatever you get because it's going to be way worse when you get home. That kind of
that kind of
thinking. And a lot of, you know, you just go out there and I had a brother who's 2 years older and, you know, oftentimes it was duke it out. And, you know, because I was younger and smaller, I might have to have a weapon. But we did outgrow it. You know, and got at a certain point that, well, that's really not the thing to do, you know. And so I can see that sometimes there's a concern that somebody's going to become a bully or that sort of thing. But I often wonder if we don't get a little too intense about, you know, the little people just doing what they seem to do so naturally and easily and without taking any of it personally. They seem to, you know, as you said, if there's no adult around to intervene, then they'll often just work out their own issues and at the end of the day be the best of friends and want to play again tomorrow. So it's hard to know, isn't
it?
But it is, it's fun and interesting to see what happens to us.
Just listening to that, the idea of hitting, I'm vibrating and I guess I got pretty heavily conditioned. It wasn't okay. I mean, I also had an image of a parent grabbing and shaking a child, telling them it's not okay to hit their friend, which is a very confusing situation.
Yeah, which again, I'm not giving God knows any advice in any direction, but there's something else that I wonder about, which is that it's somehow better to be obviously really angry and upset and yelling and that sort of thing, as long as you don't hit. I don't even know what the message is, you know, don't have emotion. If you have emotion, don't have strong emotion. Don't get upset. Always be rational. Figure out a way always to be calm. I don't know. It doesn't seem like we're, you know, we've had really good results from that. I don't know. It's interesting. Of course, I am a big fan of centered, but centered and repressed are not the same thing. And sometimes I think get confused. If you don't feel anything and you don't say anything and you look just fine, you're probably centered, but, well, maybe not. Maybe you're just repressed or depressed or something along those lines.
Yeah, remaining at least superficially calm somehow became idealized.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
And
always socially appropriate.
I think I heard you say to someone who is another type 1, that other people not following the rules is very scary. So, Enneagram type. I've totally overshot the 5 minutes. I just wanted to.
Well, it was great talking with you.
Likewise. People always kind of wish, I project, is there someone I can talk to about stuff that's really difficult? And there's the mentor, and you can call in and talk to a Zen master, and it's just. I'm really grateful for this world, so thank you to you and Michael.
Thank you, Dan. I'm grateful for this world, too. I love practice, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Thank
you. All right. Take good care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us, Daniel. Wow, that was a great conversation, Sherry. Fabulous.
We kind of went all over the place there, didn't we?
Yeah. You know, I couldn't imagine boys hitting each other. It was just hard for me to imagine. But I worked hard to get there.
Say that again, Michael. Because you have two boys. They must have clobbered one another.
I was joking.
That was tongue-in-cheek, wasn't it, sir?
Trying to be sarcastic there.
You spent a little time in that place, huh?
Yes. Yeah, and as you said, it's great to see what comes up in me, you know, in being in that place with kids not getting along and, you know, what it brings up for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you grew up with a sister.
Yes.
You couldn't just smack her around the way they probably,
Yeah, and like you said, you know, it seems like, we grow out of it at a certain age. And so that's great. Yeah.
And again, the whole fear that seems such a big part of socialization, that if you feel something, it means you have to do something. So you can't acknowledge that you're really upset because you might hit somebody or you might, I don't know what. You can't acknowledge that you're attracted to someone because you might then behave inappropriately. Mm-hmm. But I've often suspected, or long suspected, it'd be a better way to put it, that we get into those situations because we don't acknowledge what's going on with us. We're afraid of our own feelings and so busy trying to keep it together that eventually it all comes apart.
Yes.
That's why in that conversation with Dan, I really appreciate, and most of the conversations to me in Zen practice, that the questions are way more interesting than having answers.
Right?
So we do get to see what goes on under those circumstances, and what happens to me. What was I conditioned with? How do I know that? Back to Jen, how do I know that? What makes me believe that that's true? Well, let's find out. Let's see.
Yeah.
You don't have to be afraid.
Yeah, makes it very wide open. Yeah, great.
Makes a really wide open awareness practice, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Paula.
Hi.
Well, hello, Paula.
Hello.
How you doing?
I am doing really well, and feeling really inspired by the conversations this evening, and relating to so much of what I heard. Also, just that I didn't really have anything in particular in mind that to talk about, and just felt like there was, that I hadn't called in for a long time, and I really just wanted to connect.
Well, Paula, it is my experience based on tonight's open air that some of the best conversations happen when people don't have anything in particular to talk about.
That's what
we've heard all evening. I don't really have anything to talk about, but I haven't called in for a while, and then away we go. So what's going on?
Yeah. Well, I too got to do something today that I've been wanting to do for a long time and just didn't. Either the opportunity hasn't been there or I just, I'm not sure. Maybe obviously there could be some resistance, so I'm looking at that too. But anyway, it was because it was something that I've had a little bit of fear around, and I realized that, or at least I was calling it fear. And when I was having this conversation today, my friend said, "Oh, that's so exciting," and all that, just the that kind of turned around what I was identifying as fear and anxiety. I said it is. It's very exciting. So tonight and my meditation before the radio show, and I was looking at the upcoming Bamboozle, the collusion. And I looked at, I think, you know, I'll have an opportunity tonight. I'll call into the radio show and there was this conversation that said, "Oh, you don't really need to do that. You know, you don't need to do it. You don't really probably, there's no need. You have nothing to say." And one of the things that has been really helpful to me in practice is when I've been identifying bamboozle, or even a potential one, it's been just stopping and seeing what can I practice that to see if that's really true. Maybe I could check it out. I didn't need to do it. Well, so I, you know, it's just on the spot, in the moment, just a brief turning attention to the mentor, and that, well, we can just see what happens.
Well, we shall see, right? You can share my favorite line, right? Well, we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. And that there were so many things that dropped in as I was listening this evening that just resonated, that being one too. So it's wonderful just to be online and to have a chance to, you know, not to do something. There's no reason. For no reason. I don't have to have a reason to call in. That I can just
don't have to have a reason, exactly. Just to be in the conversation, right?
Yeah.
Just to be in the conversation. It's like if you know, if we had to say a monastery, or even if in somebody's hometown there's a sitting group or something like that, and I only go when I have a problem. I only go when it feels like there's something wrong that I need to deal with. Wow.
Or I only do it because I know I'm going to like it because I've done it before. So, you know, someone was saying earlier, how do I know? Unless I give it a try. If I step out of this, you know, so how do I know? Don't need to do that. That's, you know, I probably wouldn't hear a voice saying, you shouldn't, because that would be too evident. But you don't need to know, don't need to, but I think I want to. You know, I want to connect.
Yes, and as Rob was saying, that voice said, "You don't need to do that. I got to do that then, because it must be something good for me, or why would that voice be saying I don't need to do it?"
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just been so helpful to, I guess it's been very helpful to have the Bamboozle book, which I've enjoyed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also just, and it's just helped me in a lot of ways to have the willingness to sit with whatever obstacles or challenges show up, and to not run away from the fear or the anxiety, but just allow it to be long enough to see that I do have the courage and the strength to, to accept that that's that is an experience, and it doesn't mean anything about me personally.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you need to. Yeah. It doesn't mean you need to do or not do anything, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it's anybody's. It doesn't mean anything about me, and it doesn't mean anything about anybody else. It actually
yes.
is all an illusion.
Yeah. And it can be really helpful to have a wise friend who says, wow, that sounds really exciting.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's one of those moments where we go, oh, huh, gosh, that's not the label I was putting on it. I'm gonna try that label on for size.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and when in that instant there is that just a sense of spaciousness and expansiveness and trust and just the opposite of fear that says, you know, this is life just stepping in to take care of you. And
yes.
You know, I just felt
so that you can have a great, big, full, expansive, exciting, adventurous life.
Yes, yes. And that is what I have. I just, you know, it's what I have when I'm not in any conversation.
Yeah.
With,
yep.
There
it is.
With
that's yeah. That's the perfect summary right there. That's the life we have when we're not in that conversation and conditioned mind.
Yeah. And thank you so much for being there, Cher.
Oh.
Thank you to Michael. It's just such a gift, and I am eternally grateful for it. So I'll say good night.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us.
Okay. Good to be with you.
All right. Take good care, Paula. See you soon, I hope.
I hope so, too. Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Till then, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Paula. And it is great to be in the conversation, Sherry. A real blast.
It is. It is. Doesn't matter what we're talking about as long as we're together. Because when we're together, what we're going to be focused on is practice.
So yes.
There
and
we
all remind each other of what's important.
Yes.
It's so fabulous.
Yes.
Yeah. It's great.
All right. Well, thank Wonderful. You again, Michael. Take good care
thank
of yourself.
You, Sherry. You
See
too.
You before long.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.